Good morning. We are constantly amazed by the depth and breadth of God's love. Over and over again, God turns our expectations inside out and upside down. And still, we don't understand the radical nature of God's grace. The God of mystery reminds us today that we've been given all the tools we need. As we praise you, remind us that you give us strength to follow your call as disciples of Jesus Christ. And for our first hymn, we're not singing yet.
Good morning. Happy Labor Day weekend to you all. What do you say to that? I've got a number of announcements this morning. And I'm going to start with those that are in the bulletin that I would like to highlight. A week from Tuesday, note that the United Methodist Women Board is going to meet on Tuesday morning, and the circle meeting will be at the Blue Spoon in the evening. The chancel choir and handbell choir are both beginning practice. I've got the note here about John Wesley, when he would gather groups together, and when they were focusing on their spiritual growth and their Christian walk and their discipleship, they would meet and say, "How is it with your soul?" And Sue Evans is wanting to begin a group like that. That's not necessarily that they will ask that each week, but one that will focus on growing in discipleship. And so if you would like to be a part of that group, contact Sue. On the PowerPoint this morning, There was were two notices about some people who could be using some help. One is Debbie and Rebel Croissant, who have been in just some difficult situations, have recently moved from Prairie du Sac to Fitchburg. They have moved in with her daughter. They thought they were going to be homeless for a while, so we have some boxes stored in the basement that are theirs. They would like those boxes to be delivered to them. So if someone has a truck, a van with a hitch on the back, and would be willing to take those things to Debbie and Rebel, please let me know. Also, next Monday, Dave Regala is going to be having surgery, and on Wednesday, Judy is going to be having surgery. It's going to be carpal tunnel surgery for Judy. So I think they could use some help with some meals for a few days, a week. And if you would be willing to help with that, please talk with Joanne Budd. She will make those arrangements. Some of you have been asking me if you can still bring shoes. Yes, you can. We will be collecting shoes through the third Sunday in September. Those shoes are, and they're looking for 751 pairs of shoes to represent the 751 lives that have been taken by suicide over the last 10 years in Sauk, Columbia, and Dane counties. There's going to, on the fourth Sunday in September, there's going to be a Hope Sauk Prairie event, a memoriam in Oak Meyer Grove Park in the afternoon. And those shoes are going to be part of the walk that those of us who are participating will take. So if you still have shoes that you were planning to give to St. Vinny's, you can bring them here. We will use them for that day and then take them to St. Vinny's for you. So it'll save you a trip if you have those. They're very much appreciated. If you've looked at your monthly chimes, you will know that we have hired Layla Drescher as our new administrative assistant. Layla's a member of the church. She's already our a youth director, so greet her when you see her. She will begin in the office on the 18th of September. And also, following worship today, if you have provided nursery care in the past, you received an email from me this week, and we want to provide training for all of the people who are going to be working in the nursery. The Nurture Committee worked on some policies and procedures for our church to follow so that we have that consistency. And we would like all of the people who will be doing that to sit for the training. It's not going to take a long time, half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on your questions. And the first of those will be right after worship this morning. And next Sunday is Rally Sunday. Mark your calendars, 10:30. But if you forget and come at 9 o'clock next Sunday, you can be part of one of the Sunday school classes. Sunday school begins next Sunday. We've got three adult classes, and we will have teachers for children through all ages. So that begins next week. We're having a special guest, Richard Rubietta, is going to be leading worship next Sunday. He's going to be leading us with a lot of music. So it's going to be a wonderful service. Following that, we will have a potluck. The Nurture Committee is going to provide the meat and buns and ask that people bring a dish to pass. And the only other thing, Doug wants to say something. As Doug is, you're going to use that. Okay. But before he starts, please sign, take the red pew pads, sign your name, and pass that down. Doug.
Yes, good morning. On behalf of the trustees, let me first of all apologize for the disarray that you found yourself coming into this morning to the north. Trustees have been working diligently trying to get that, and we will hopefully be finished with it in a 3-week period of time. So we'll have a few more weeks of disarray in that particular area. My concern right now is the bunch of insulation that you see hanging from the ceiling in there. We did submit a test for this, perhaps, for that material. We haven't received back the report yet. When we do, we're expecting it's going to be a positive outcome in that there is no asbestos, and we'll then tear it down ourselves. So Bruce decided that he had had enough, so he went to Alaska. Good for him. At any rate, I'll need a crew to get together on Tuesday afternoon if, in fact, that report comes back in our favor. And if it doesn't, then we'll have to get an asbestos team in here to take that down. Just please talk to me after church, if you would. Please talk to me if you would. Availability to help out Tuesday afternoon. I'll put your name and telephone number down, and I'll give you a call if, in fact, we need you. Thank you.
One more announcement. Yes.
Coffee hour.
Huh? Oh, yes. Coffee hour will begin next week as well, and there is a sign on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall. If you are willing and wanting to host coffee hour, please sign your name there. And one other note, people have been asking how we can help the people in Texas who have been so devastated by the hurricane. If you want to give money to go through UMCOR, 100% of it goes to that project. You can write a check or designate money and write the check to the church, and we will send that money on to UMCOR then. Mary will designate it.
On the memo line,
write Harvey, Hurricane Harvey, okay?
How shall we get along with one another in the world? We should honor one another with kindness and compassion.
We should always be strong in our enthusiasm to serve God.
Come, let us joyfully worship God in all that we do. And if you will stand as you are able, and in the black book, page number 2226, bind us together, we'll sing it one time.
Together, Lord, bind us together.
and join me in our morning prayer? Surprising God, you have an uncomfortable habit of showing up where we least expect you, in a burning bush, in the face of an enemy, in a livestock feed trough, on a rough wooden cross. Turn our lives upside down with your radical love. Help us fully embrace your surprises, even as we revel in the joy of being fully embraced by your all-encompassing grace and mercy. We pray in the name of your most surprising Jesus Christ. And if you'll remain standing and turn in the green book to number 3093. Thank you. Please be seated. Our first reading today is from the book of Romans. Okay. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not pay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never argue, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And on a personal note, Dave and I want to thank our church family so much for your cards, your prayers, and your words of encouragement. They mean so much to us. It's helping us get through what we have and what we have yet to come. The new Jazzy that Dave is writing today was a gift from one of our donation from one of our members, and it has truly changed Dave's life for the better. And our dog loves it. Now she can go for walks with him. It's wonderful. God bless all of you, and thank you again so much. Our next reading is from the book of Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But Jesus replied to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." May the Lord add meaning to this reading.
I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Come on down. They're not going to come today? Okay. Throughout the summer, we've been hearing the word of God that comes from Romans, and that has been the focus of the sermons throughout this time. So we've gone from chapter 1 through chapter 11, and then and during that time, Paul is talking about the grace of God that is given to all. And Paul understands that grace to mean that all to mean the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, Paul has been writing to people who have been at the center of what it meant to be the Roman Empire. Those who were in power were often seen as enemies. And I don't know that is real different than how we see those in power today, but then that also kind of slides over or spreads out. And when we have an enemy, all of a sudden, all of the people who are part of our enemy are our enemy as well. For example, Afghanistan,
places where the Taliban are. We don't trust any of the people in that country to not be part of the Taliban. So they're all our enemies. And I think that this is what was going on in Jesus' time as well. How do you trust any of those Roman people? Paul, with the wisdom of God, is writing to them, telling them that God's grace is available to them as well. In the reading from last week, Paul said something that I think is really important in understanding this. He said, because of the grace God gave me, I can say to each one of you. And then he has this list of exhortations. And I think it's important for us to remember that it's because of the grace that God has given us that we can look at people local and around the world, not as enemies, but as people of God who receive grace as we do. As I look through this list that Paul has for us today, they could easily be, added on as commandments. So instead of 10 commandments, we would have another 23 commandments. And we don't have any trouble remembering or keeping the 10, so we can add 23 on with no problem, right? They're not commandments. Rules. Paul was saying, because of the authority that God has given me, I can say to you, and he went on with the reading today, and I not only can say it to you, I believe you need to listen to me. These are not my words, these are God's words. Paul was speaking with authority, and he's gone through all of this grace, and now all of a sudden he goes, therefore, because of what God has done for us, this is how we should live our lives. Because of what God has done for us, this is what it means for our daily living. These aren't just suggestions. It's the way we are to live. As individuals, as communities of faith. This is what it means to present your bodies, connected from last week, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. And he gives them concrete examples of how it is to live. And when he talks about right worship, he's not talking about what happens here on Sunday morning. When Paul talks about right worship, what he's talking about is what happens, how we live our lives on Sunday afternoon, on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. How we live our lives is our worship to God. And the list that he gives us really have to do with how we live out compassion and what our ethical standards are. And it's not always obvious to us when he's talking about hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. That's not always obvious to us. We can see examples of hatred and how it expresses itself. We can see examples of evil. But if we talked about, if we were to have a conversation about things that are going on in the world, some of us might call one thing evil and another not. I was talking with a good friend whose daughter is getting married. They want to get married in Madison because that's where they live. They were ready to sign a contract. And this contract said that they would have, first of all, it was $2,000 just for the hall. Well, that's not unreasonable, except that they have to guarantee that the people will eat and drink $6,600 worth of food and alcohol that day. They're guaranteed that much. And then it went on with a list of things that they had to do. And the young woman said, "Mom, we can't sign this contract. I cannot spend $20,000 for one day." Now, this young woman and her fiancé can't afford it. $20,000 is with what they earn is very doable, and Mom has been saving, so the money is there, but it's just not right to them. It's sin to do that. Now we know that that's not sin to everyone. So that's what Paul is getting, that what the scripture is getting at, is that it's not always obvious what's right and what's wrong. And we've got different standards. But it's part of the conversation that Christians need to be having. And it doesn't mean that we are going to always agree. A number of years ago, and I mean, when I say a number of years, it's when I was in seminary, so 30 years ago, the World Council of Churches was going to be sending money, I think it was someplace in South America, to help people who were left homeless and hungry and in tough shape because of the warring in that nation. And so the World Council of Churches was going to be sending this money there, and they knew that a part of it was going to be taken by the rebels, by those in power, and it would never get to where they wanted it to go. 60 Minutes interviewed the World Council of Churches about what bad stewardship this was to help that people who were part of that evil. And the response of the church was, it's our call to help. It's not our call, and do everything that we can to make sure it gets where we want it to go, but it's not our call to deal with the warring that is there. Our way of dealing with it is to provide food, drink, shelter. During this past week, whenever I've gone into a store, people have asked me if I want to give some money to support the people whose lives have been devastated by Harvey. And I always say, and I won't name the organization. Okay, what I always say is, I give through my church because 100% of what I give goes to that project. There's no administrative costs being taken out of what I give. And some people have said to me, what church is that? I think that the United Methodist Church is doing a very good thing in that administration is already taken care of through other means. So that when we support something like this, it's all going to good. Now, Paul says a lot more in this reading from that we heard this morning. He talks about living in harmony. He talks about vengeance. He talks about not claiming to be wiser than we are. Today, we hear, because of time constraints, today we hear what Paul has to say and what God has to say to us through Paul about loving what is good and about doing what is good. May God give us wisdom. Amen. I invite our ushers to come as we present our gifts to the church, our gifts to the broader world. And if you have gifts for Harvey, they don't need to be in today. We will continue to collect those and forward them on.
Together, God of grace,
We offer you now these gifts. Take our money and use it to bring comfort to those in need. Take our service and use it to bring justice to those who are oppressed. Take our witness and use it to bring good news to those who hunger for hope. Take our lives and use them for our very redemption. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've had prayer requests for Ruth Ann Keller, who's in the hospital and may be home today. Prayers for Lois and Claire Munns. Continued prayers for Bill and Marilyn as he recovers. Prayers for those in Texas. Let us pray. Lord, in the moments of silence, we open our hearts to you. We share prayer concerns and concerns about people whom we love. This world has all kinds of contradictions in it. They surround our lives. We find good and evil sharing the same space. We find ourselves abiding in light and shadows as we think about what it means to lose our lives in order to gain life, to pick up our cross and follow you. While we celebrate life eternal in those whom we love who are now in your presence, we also feel sadness over those who are no longer with us. Teach us to live with the contradictions of our lives. In the midst of our noisy, active days, help us to hear silence and to appreciate solitude, for it is in that that we are in your presence and in your awareness. Enable us to grow in faith and trust. Help us to understand our weaknesses, that we might also recognize our strength as we seek to live peaceably with others. Hear our prayers for those whom we have named, who need your healing spirit, which you give to each one of us when we are created. Work within those lives and heal them. Heal body, mind, and spirit wherever it is broken. Help us to follow Jesus. Help us to rejoice in the hope that he gives as we discover life's tensions and contradictions. May we see the brokenness and move toward fullness and wholeness of life in Jesus Christ. May all our struggles, may our pain be transformed as you reveal yourself in our lives. Hear our prayers for the places in the world that are torn, and we especially are mindful of our brothers and sisters in southern Texas, the amazing devastation gives opportunity for us to share and to give. So it is with thanks, O God, that we respond to your call in our lives. And it is with thanks that you are patient and persistent with us, that we might reach the world, that we might reach out in our world to share the good news that we have been given. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is our good news, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm not going to ask you to open your hymnals today to the liturgy. In Matthew's gospel today, we were called to pick up our cross and carry it. We're not asked to pick up Jesus' cross. He did that. He picked up his own cross and carried it. And we sometimes focus on the cross and the pain of that so much that we forget that at the end of the cross for Christ was life. And that is true in our lives as well. As we pick up our cross, we don't know who will receive life through what we offer. We do remember that Jesus had that meal with his brothers and his disciples. And during the meal, he took bread. He gave thanks to God for the bread. He broke it, offered it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." And at the end of the meal, Jesus took the cup, and again, he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, gracious God, we pray your blessing on these gifts and on the people, that the gift and the giver would serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we are going to be celebrating communion by modified intinction, which means that you'll come and we will tear off a piece of the bread and give that to you, and then just a step or two away, you'll receive the cup. In the United Methodist Church, all are invited to share in the bread and the cup, because this is God's gift for all. All are welcome at the table. I invite the servers to come up. Come to the table which God prepares.
We thank you, God, that in this mystery of bread and cup, you give yourself to us. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 670, Go Forth for God. Please stand. Go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.